God in heaven, thousands of children stand. Announcements to make by way of prayer request. First of all, for our sister, Miss Margaret Carey. Margaret hasn't been very well in recent days, and she's undergoing some tests, and she would like the congregation just to remember her at the throne of grace in these days. And then for the Reverend Gregory McCammon, who is in hospital, and we are remembering God's servant in this trying time for him and his family. So let's pray together, seek the Lord. Almighty God and gracious Father, we bow humbly and reverently in your presence now as we come to thee through the all-precious and worthy name of thy Son, Jesus Christ. Praise thee for the opportunity to come in prayer, to spend time with each other, to spend time with the Lord, to know sweet communion with those of like precious faith, and to enjoy that greater communion with our God above. We pray that you will further prepare our hearts for this time, and bring us into close relationship with our God, and to that end, wash us afresh in the blood of the Saviour. Take away our sin, and let nothing of a hindering nature remain between us and heaven. Open up that channel of blessing, that we might enjoy the presence of God tonight. In thy presence there's fullness of joy, and at thy right hand, pleasures forevermore. And Lord, we want to know that fullness of joy to be obtained in the presence of God. We do rejoice in this opening hymn, and as we come later to listen to your servant, we know that he has this great burden in our province to reach the children of this present generation. Thank thee for the open doors that you've given to him, the many opportunities that have come his way, even over the past year and a half, that has been difficult in God's work. But Lord, you've opened doors, effectual doors, as you promised to do. And Lord, we praise you that children are being reached with the gospel. Children have been converted to Christ. And Lord, we know that they've come to start on that road for heaven home. And Lord, we know that the only way they get there is the way we were singing about tonight. It is through Christ. It is through his precious blood. It is through redemption. And Lord, we pray that you will multiply this over and over again. Save the upcoming generation, we pray. Save them from the world. Save them from the devil. Save them, Lord, from going down into a Christless eternity. We pray that you will bring them powerfully and effectually to Jesus Christ. Save their souls and save their lives. Lives that are a potential, living those lives for the glory of Almighty God. We remember the family, especially that have been bereft of their son. We think of the McBrides tonight. And Lord, we commit them in love to thee. We fail to understand oftentimes the dark providences that we're allowed to enter into in this life. And this has been so for Ashley and her family. We pray that you will continue to be with them, even as things settle down now, and maybe the coming and the going to their home is not as frequent by people as it was. Lord, we pray that thou will be there, that the presence of God will be overwhelming in their home, that they will experience the nearness of the one who has promised, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. And we pray that good will come out of ill, that God will be glorified and magnified in the midst of it all. We do remember our dear sister Margaret Carey tonight as well, and we pray for the touch of the Lord to be upon her body, that thou wilt be pleased to mend whatever is happening there, that thou wilt touch her and heal her for the glory of God. And as she gets these tests done and scans, we pray that she'll know much of the presence of the Lord with her. Remember the Reverend McCammon as well, other of our ministers that have been sick in these days. We commit them to the grace of God. And may it please the Lord, as we have prayed for the others, that you will raise this dear man up to health and strength as well, that he will know the touch of the Lord in his physical frame. Bless this people here tonight. Lord, we'll come to meet with God most of all. We pray that you'll speak to us in what we hear tonight from your word. Speak to us in the report that your servant gives. We pray that Robert will know the help of God standing with him here as he addresses us this evening. And make this a meeting where God comes down, we're blessed within our souls, a meeting indeed that will count for the great eternity of God, in Jesus' name. Amen. Very warm word of welcome to you here tonight and those that are tuning in on the internet. Just a quick run through the announcements to remind you, tomorrow at 12:30, there's a wedding taking place here in the church, the wedding of Ian and Stephanie, and I want you to pray for this young couple as they come together, that the Lord's blessing will be upon them. Our youth fellowship at 8 o'clock. Bible study will be done in the book of Philemon. And Samuel, our youth leader, he'll be conducting that. And young people, you've been asked to read this short epistle, just one chapter, 25 verses. The ordination and installation service of Simon Anderson will take place tomorrow night in Auchnacloy. Simon was our student assistant here for a year. And we're thinking about him very much as this happens in his life, for him and his family. Do pray for that meeting tomorrow night, that there'll be a real conscious sense of the presence of God, and that the Lord will bless this man as he takes up the charge there in Auchnacloy, that God will be pleased to give him many, many seals to his ministry, and early seals that soon after tomorrow night he'll see the hand of God working in that town and in the church. Saturday, there's a Zoom prayer meeting organised by the Government and Morals Committee. That's from 10:30 through until 12 noon. Next Lord's Day begins with the prayer meeting at 8 o'clock. And then we have the anniversary service of the Carmichael School in Pakistan. We'll be speaking at that at 9:30. And we hope to feed these children. So we started just over a year ago. And this is a kind of a celebration of a year's work that has been done. Our Sabbath school then at 10:30, and the Bible class at 10:30, worship service. We come back to our meditations in Mark at 12 noon, and then the special 70th gospel service, 70th anniversary gospel service at 7. Mr. David Martin is coming to testify. The prayer time is 6:15. Can I mention this night week we're having a special memorial service for the life of Dr. Alan Cairns. That's the 4th of November, 8 o'clock. Various colleagues will take part, including greetings from overseas. And it will be broadcast live on the internet through the usual channels. Let the Bible Speak calendar for 2022 is available. And just to remind you that we are changing the system of broadcasting here in this meeting, trying to bring it up to the same standard as the church, and that will be done in the near future. Just pray for the Carmichael School, pray for the Grace Academy, also in Pakistan, these two schools that we're supporting. Remember the feeding of the orphan children over in India, and remember our sister Nori McAfee, she continues in Uganda. The apartment has been renovated. This is an apartment that will keep a family or a plurality of visitors as they go to the mission field, and we're very, very pleased with the way that the apartment has turned out, with bedding and mosquito nets, etc. I think there's 4 bedrooms, so that's going to be an excellent accommodation for visitors. Also, the latest home learning packs for secondary school children have been prepared, and these were being sent out in the incoming week. Just tonight, before I came to the meeting, the distribution of shoes this week, Sister Emma sent us these photographs of the shoes that were sent out. You remember the 600 pairs of shoes, and there were some clothes as well among that. And these are the kids that are receiving and benefiting from your generosity. And we're hoping to do another container, not a container pallet, at the end of November. Now we're going to sing another hymn, 682. It's a missionary hymn, but it has a special emphasis on children as well. And we're going to sing it together before the Lord's servant comes to speak. Hark the voice of Jesus crying.
Jesus will be praised.
To welcome you, Robert, Robert McConnell. I think everyone knows you, Robert. They certainly know your Uncle George. And we bid him welcome to Hebron in the Saviour's precious name. We follow his ministry. We pray for you, brother. And you're going to tell us a little bit about that just now. I'm going to invite you to come. So whatever technology needs to be done to get your little bit up and running, who's taking care of that? Okay. Thank you. Well, good evening, folks. It's lovely to be with you tonight. And looking around and seeing such a large gathering, we really do appreciate that. It's a very wet night. It's much easier, perhaps, to stay at home, especially when you hear of the likes of me coming. But we're so glad that you put that effort in, and we trust that you'll be richly rewarded and that the Lord will bless us tonight. I have to say, even in the choice of our two hymns to begin with, our hearts have been thrilled. We've been challenged afresh ourselves. And sometimes it's very easy to sing and not just to lock into the words. And I was thinking especially of that first hymn that was chosen, of those little ones in heaven, those little ones that will maybe perhaps one day be in heaven. And they're there, having been washed in the blood of the Lamb. But they're not there out of ignorance. They're there out of knowledge. And the little scripture reading that I want to share with you will really tie in well with that tonight. And it's found just simply in Psalm 78. Just as you look up this portion, I want to thank your minister and the session here for giving us the opportunity to come back to fellowship with you. As we say already, we're glad to see such a large number out. The flip side of that makes me slightly more nervous than usual. I would far rather this room be filled with boys and girls so that I could very abruptly tell you all to sit up straight and fold your arms and no more running in and out until the end of the meeting. But we just trust that the Lord will bless and undertake for us even tonight. By way of deputation meeting, we want just to read this short passage. We will not expound on it. It's pretty self-explanatory. And then we want to go straight into the report that we have. Normally the reports that are given are given out on a three-yearly cycle, but the report that we want to give tonight, it will focus in very, very sharply on the events of the last 18 months. Events that have changed all of our lives, events that have caused much disruption in all of our lives, and it's this part of the report that I want to focus in on tonight. And I trust that as we do give it, that you'll be more pointed in your prayer for the work. In fact, that you'll be filled with rejoicing in what the Lord is doing. Because tonight, we're not really giving a report on Robert McConnell, on FPC kids, on child evangelism within our denomination. We're really giving you a report tonight on what the Lord is doing. And so tonight, if you see anything of eternal value, anything of the furtherance in the gospel, know this, that it's all of the Lord. And in that we should rejoice and be glad. Psalm 78. Give ear, O my people, to my law. Incline your hearts to the words of my mouth. I will open my mouth in a parable. I will utter dark sayings of old, which we have heard and known, and our fathers have told us. We will not hide them from their children, showing to the generation to come the praises of the Lord and his strength and his wonderful works that he hath done. For he established a testimony in Jacob and appointed a law in Israel, which he commanded our fathers that they should make them known to their children, that the generation to come might know them, even the children which should be born, should arise and declare them to their children. Here's the key verse in what we have read and what we will concentrate on. That they might set their hope in God
and not forget the works of God, but keep his commandments, that they may set their hope in God. Let's just unite our hearts together for a short word of prayer, and then we'll go straight into the report that we want to give to you tonight. Our gracious God and Heavenly Father, we thank thee for all that has gone before. We thank thee, O Lord, for the opening praise, the sentiment, and the words, Lord, that have spoken even to your hearts afresh. We thank thee for thy precious word, Lord, that we've been able to open freely together. You've given us, Lord, even in our own limited understanding, a measure of grasp of what the Lord would have us to do with our children, and the hope that they will have in God if we, as those that would lead them, will lead them aright. And so, O Lord, just now we ask for the filling of thy Spirit. We ask for help from on high. We pray, O Lord, that all that would be said and done of man would be set to the side, forgotten about. But all, O Lord, that would be of thee would be taken up, used by way of challenge and encouragement. And we pray, O Lord, that all things be done according to thy will this night. We ask it in our Saviour's wonderful and precious name. Amen. Now, although we did state very clearly at the beginning that we want to particularly talk about the events of the last 18 months, we do want to rejoice in the fact that we have been able to be engaged in child evangelism in a full-time capacity under our mission board now for well over 10 years. It's a very small term of service compared to some in the field, but we delight in the fact that we have been able to be kept by the Lord throughout all of that period. The work that we would undertake as a child evangelist is very easily divided into two parts. There's the work that's done within the church environment, and then there is the other work that's done away from the church environment. And although we are home missionaries in many senses, that work done away from the church environment can sometimes feel quite a lonely work. We thank the Lord that he is with us, but we do feel it within ourselves sometimes, because we know that there are those who are against what we would have to say. But the work that's done within the church environment always really cheers us. We love to work alongside each of our congregations, to be part of the activities that they would endeavour to bring together, to have boys and girls in under the sound of the ministry of God's word. And it's a very important part of each of our congregations' service in their community. There is, of course, the Sunday school work, the midweek children's meetings, and then the special efforts on children's days where we perhaps try to get extended family in. There is the work done among the youth fellowship, the camps, the weekends away, the summer seasons with the holiday Bible clubs, the children's missions, the tent missions. And then, of course, there are those special prize-giving nights and parents' nights, where again much effort is put into bringing extended family in under the sound of the gospel. And all of this is such an important part of the work of our individual congregations and our denomination. And I just thrill to be associated with all of those that are of like precious faith, fellow laborers amongst the boys and girls. We learn so much off of each other. We encourage each other in the Lord as we go about the province and partake in services here and there. You know, my grandfather, he was a shepherd. Now, that's a shock perhaps to some of you folk as you look at my lovely soft complexion and very smooth little soft hands. But my grandfather was a shepherd. He was a mountain shepherd. The sheep that he had were very wild animals. In fact, he lived so far up the mountain that the little half doors at the back of the cottage just opened out onto the heather and onto the mountain. That old man had a great insight in knowing how to deal with the sheep. There did come a certain time in the season where the sheep would have to be brought off the mountain. That old man didn't go after the whole flock. He just went out into the mountain and he brought in the lambs of the flock. Didn't bother with the rest. That man, having insight, having knowledge and having experience, And having done it many times before, when he brought the lambs down to the safety of the fold, as they made their bleating and the noise that they would make, it wasn't long till the rest of the flock came following in. And this work that we would do within the church environment with those of like precious faith is just akin to that. You know, we get our boys and girls into the meetings. Then there are opportunities to get extended family in. If we can get parents in, then we get those of a wider family range, other siblings in, grandparents in. And if we get that extended family in, we get perhaps a street in. You get a street in, you get a district in. And little by little, starting from the children, we can make great inroads into the district. A little child shall lead them. That's why that part of the work is so important, and we're thrilled to be part of it and encouraged greatly when we see it extending here and there throughout our province. But away from the church environment, there is a work that we would be heavily involved in, and the bulk of that would be in the schools, doing school assembly, after school activities like Scripture Union, and then, surprise, surprise, even getting the opportunity of doing RE classes within the schools. Now, for me, that could only be of the Lord, because I spent the first 16 years of my life trying to get out of school, and suddenly I was back in as the teacher. And so we thrilled in doing those things. And all this work within the church and away from the church environment, and especially that work in the schools, was bringing us into contact with upwards of 12 to 15,000 boys and girls each year. Now, we don't say these things to brag or to blow. We just say them to give you a little insight to the extent of the work. And these children we were reaching on a very regular basis, perhaps even on a weekly basis, we were getting to speak to upwards of 2,000 boys and girls. Very humbling. And we have covered your prayers for such things. Sometimes even on a daily basis, we would leave our home and we would go into a school environment. And because the school was so large, they would have to have two assemblies. And in one morning, we would get to speak to upwards of maybe 600 boys and girls in one go. But all this work, especially that work in the schools, came to an abrupt stop last March. We don't want to regurgitate all the accounts between then and now. We do know that there were certain new language learned about lockdowns and about a two-week curve, and things just kept going on and on and on. But for the most part, all of this difficulty, I feel personally, greatly hindered the work amongst the boys and girls. And for me tonight to try and throw some light on that issue, I would probably make things darker. This much I do know, that the Lord is in control. This much that I do know, that the Lord is still in control. And this much that I do know, the Lord will always be in control. And so we need to leave these things with the Lord. But we do know in our hearts, and if we do search our hearts, that over this last 18 months, not just the boys and girls, but in the wider church circle, in wider evangelism, there has been many difficulties, many things that should have happened that never happened, many hearts that should have been touched and affected as they've been brought to death and life issues, never change one iota. There have been people who have never been back to God's house, who could be in God's house tonight. We do realize that there are dear brethren and sisters in the Lord who would love to be in God's house tonight. And our fear is that they will perhaps never be back in God's house. And our hearts go out to them and for them. But there is a small element who have taken this opportunity and they're gone. We do know that having our Sunday school stopped and our children's work stopped and that whole raft of reaching out and having face-to-face evangelism has greatly diminished the works, if we are honest. And we're going to have to rebuild and work at it again. But even despite all of these things, the Lord has been good. 18 months isn't much in the life of your average adult. But in the life of a child, it's a great chunk of their childhood gone. I do know tonight that there are little ones who were associated with our work, and now they're too old, or they feel too old, and we will not get them back again. But in all of the midst of this darkness, I do believe that there is a much light, much to be encouraged about. You see, we as a denomination are very evangelical in our outlook. And not just to get people within the confines of the four walls of a building. But way back in the early days, we did have what was known as tape ministry. Now, there are certain ones of us here of a certain age, and tape ministries are very familiar. We might even still have a drawer with a few old tapes in it. And that tape ministry was used greatly to reach out to those who wouldn't come in. Of course, we have updated it now to CD and DVD ministry. And then some of our congregations, perhaps maybe upwards of even up to 10 years ago, maybe longer, had the insight to use sermon audio and to broadcast the gospel far and wide. But I believe that only in this last 18 months that a new light has been put on, a new advancement in the things of God has occurred. And that is reaching boys and girls outside of the four walls of the church building, outside of the enclosure where we would normally have them. That being reaching them on the World Wide Web. I believe for the very first time ever, 18 months ago, our denomination had never any thought toward that. And today, things are different. And so we rejoice in that. And I know that individual congregations, and I know your own congregation here, put a huge effort in from last March on to do online Sunday schools and children's meetings. I watched many of them, and I have to say they were put together so wonderfully well and by people who were so willing to be in front of a camera, because it is not easy. For most of us, it's not natural. And we do rejoice in even the efforts put in here. As a team under the mission board, a Zoom meeting was held. It was chaired by Alistair Hamilton. It occurred last March. And it was felt that we needed to continue on, do something by way of online ministry. We had planned in our own mind, and we did execute small local efforts. We put together a little magazine every week, along with a little packet of Haribos, can't forget those. And we went into the whole district. And we distributed those for weeks and weeks and weeks and weeks and weeks, waving at the little ones through their windows. And that was really the only contact that we had. We were able to do a little 10-minute slot for many, many months into an empty church building before the main service. Again, it had its limitations, but we were so thankful to have that opportunity. But in this Zoom meeting, it was felt that we had to do something very immediately. Respond very quickly and rapidly with regards to online ministry for boys and girls. And within about a week, we were up and running. We had a little segment called Bible Corner that was broadcast on a Friday night for children who would normally be in a children's meeting. And then on the Sunday morning, we broadcast for boys and girls who could not get to Sunday school. This went far and wide, and it also went to little congregations, little churches here and there, who just, because of the small number, didn't even have Sunday schools over in the mainland, for example, down south as well. And again, we rejoiced that people were able to use these things and facilitate off the efforts that were being put in the gospel towards boys and girls. In those early days, it was very difficult for us as a team. We had to do the work at home. We were all novices, still are novices, and we had to film ourselves, get that set in, and even learn how to do it, because there were such large amounts of data. It's okay send two or three wee bits and pieces in an email, but we had a whole lot of new things to learn about Dropbox and all kinds of things that we don't want to go into, because it just really grieves your heart, because it was so difficult. But you know, during that early initial stage, I think poor Christina had to do her filming out of her bedroom. We had a little room at the back of the house, which every stick of furniture had to come out of, so that I wouldn't be too close to the camera, frightening the children half to death. Then all that had to be brought back in again, because it was in another room that was completely bunged and blocked, and we were just continually moving around and trying to get the filming done and everything done according to as we were asked. I used to complain very bitterly to my daughter. Do you notice I stopped there, because I know we are live on air and I can get into the handling match. I might be 75 miles from home, but it's just a flick of a button. But I used to complain bitterly to my daughter about her phone. Hundreds of pounds, you know, spent on this iPhone. Now I have a phone and I can text and WhatsApp and take photographs and have things sent to me and send things, bits and pieces of email. And I used to say to her, I can do all what you can do. But tonight I am so thankful for the phone that she had. I'm so thankful that when she had that phone that she upgraded it and gave me the opportunity to complain again. Because the quality of what she was able to do on that phone, I could never do on the little phone that I had. My daughter at that stage was in furlough, which was very willing to help me, film me, and they encouraged me, because we did find it difficult. And we did really appreciate the quality of the footage that she was able to produce. I had to eat a lot of humble pie. I think I had to eat the cream and the little cherry on top as well. I had to learn that sometimes the older generation doesn't know everything. You know, the little phone that I had, on one occasion I did leave it lying on the prize-giving table in our children's meeting, and nobody touched it. They took all the Haribos. Now that could be for one of two reasons. Either the phone was really poor, or we have been teaching these children very well about their need to keep the 8th commandment. But we did progress, and as I say, the meetings went out. They were recorded, sent away, edited, and spliced together very well, and they were put out on a Friday night and on a Sunday. We delighted to see the little ones tuning in and hearing the response. But we were even more delighted to see the Lord putting his seal of approval upon that effort. You see, we were not there to entertain or to provide half an hour of airtime. We were there just as simply as best we could to present Christ and the children's need of the Saviour. And from the very first broadcast on that Friday the 27th of March, we heard of a little one in the Bangor area coming and trusting in the Saviour. On the Lord's Day, the very following broadcast, we heard of a little one from the Analong area coming and trusting the Saviour. From that time on, we have had many people who have contacted us, parents who are unsaved, but so glad that this facility was made available to them. And their words were to me that it just brought them right back to their own childhood, their own time in children's meeting. And we rejoice in that. We just leave all of this with the Lord, and we trust that great and mighty things will continue to be done. To this point, we have recorded about 60 of those half-hour programs called Bible Corner. We then felt that because of the stringent lockdown at that time, that there was a bit of a gap between the Friday and the Sunday, or the Sunday round to the Friday rather. And so we decided that we should do a little segment spot bang on in the middle called Wee Word on a Wednesday. And it was just a little 5-minute segment. And we did really enjoy doing those because they were short, succinct, and you didn't have the laborious half hour. It felt laborious to us because so many times we maybe had to stop and restart and were fumbling with our words and not getting it right, and it was just frustrating. But the little 5-minute segments were a lot more pleasant to do on most occasions. At that time, we decided among us, and we seemed to do most of them outside, and you may recall some of them. And I decided to do my very first one outside in the back garden. And the reason why they seemed to do so many of them outside was the fact that the weather was so great for about 6 weeks back to back. And so I went into the back garden with my daughter with her lovely iPhone, And I had a few thoughts in my mind and a few props set up, and I had the garden kind of tidied a bit, and anything that was a bit rough and any weeds all sorted out so it wouldn't look too poor for others looking on. All the weedy bins and things moved out of the way, in other words. And we just began. And I hadn't started 2 minutes until I could hear this thump, 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 thump. Of course, that was being picked up in the microphone. We couldn't use that. So we stopped, waited a minute or two, started again, hadn't the second word out, thump, 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 even worse. What had happened was this. Where I live is quite near the sea. There had been a lot of storms over the winter. A new housing development, one of the houses had lost their fence. The man who owned the house was on furlough, and today was the day he was going to fix his fence. So I tore around as quick as I could and as plausible as I could, just to ask if he was going in for a little cup of tea or going in for lunch, explained to him what we were doing, and he very kindly agreed to give us that bit of time. And we came back round and we began again. Now, my next door neighbour has 2 Jack Russells, and I can promise you tonight that those 2 dogs are not Free Presbyterians. And when those 2 guys get at it, they really do it well. And they began, and there was no end. Sometimes you give it 5 minutes and the quarrel finishes, but it wasn't happening today. Don't know what was going on with these 2 dogs. So I nipped round to the neighbour and just happened to ask, "You're not taking the dogs out for a bit of a walk today?" And he agreed and kindly went out with the dogs. Back round I went. This is starting to run into about half an hour now. Started again. And what did I hear? An ice cream van. And I said to my daughter, "What kind of lockdown is this?" But we had to let that one slide because they were actually delivering groceries to folks who were shut in and afraid to go out and about. So these were some of the things that we had to face. And, you know, there is good to have a bit of humour and even throughout all of the difficulty. And we did have difficulties, but the Lord undertook. And as things began to ease, we were able to meet together as a working group. We were able to have a studio of our own. We got a green screen, good lighting, and our main camera person, Catherine Keane, she was able to be there to do everything right in front of us, to correct us when we needed to be corrected, to commend us whenever things were going well. And it just made things so much easier. But we did feel that we could do something more. We were reaching the church, as it were, children. And so we began to think again about the schools, and at that time we weren't allowed into the schools. We were no visitors of any sort were getting into any school. And so we contacted all of the schools that we would have normally been in. And between the 3 of us, Joyce, Christine and myself, it would probably be about 100, maybe more schools. And we decided to contact all those schools with a proposal that we would put together a playlist of about 30 little assemblies. We divided them into Key Stage 1 and Key Stage 2 to make it really simple. There were just 15 minutes each, an opening chorus, Bible lesson or story, and a closing prayer. And we put this proposal to all of our schools, and a large, large percent of them came back and said, "Yes, we would be interested in that." And so that began to take place. We were greatly encouraged by that, because some of the schools did come back to us and said, "Now, will you do something on this subject matter, and will you do something on that subject matter?" And then we just took it as a token for good from the Lord that they were actually watching these things and they were actually using them. Because you just really can't tell. We then felt that we could widen that out again. And so we decided to contact every single primary school in Northern Ireland. There are 800 primary schools in Northern Ireland. Sad to say that not all that we know of took up of this offer. But again, a large proportion of schools that none of the 3 of us have ever been in came back and said, "Yes, we are interested. Yes, we are enjoying these. Yes, can you provide more?" And so just to give you an example, on a certain particular morning, I was told that I was doing the assembly in a little school in Warren Point, and at the same time, I was doing the assembly in a little school somewhere in County Fermanagh. And I don't think I had my Cocoa Pops at that stage. And so this is how the Lord just widened out the work. We have left it with the Lord. We have been able also to do at least 5 online holiday Bible clubs. These have been a tremendous success, greatly encouraged from the feedback from doing those. Very hard work. We do try to do a whole week's recording in one day. So we're there from early in the morning at the studio, and we work right now. We've had all our preparation done prior to this, maybe several weeks of preparation. We bring everything we need, start first thing in the morning, maybe 8:30, and we film right through until we are finished. If we're there late, it's our fault. If we get away early, it's our success. But it never really happened that way, and we just filmed the whole way through the day. And I can promise you now that we were completely exhausted at the end of those film sessions. But good bond of unity, good fellowship, and we're so glad that the old devil didn't break through, because he can so easily break through and bring discouragement and hardship and difficulty and problems. A lot of that is now in the past. All that stuff is there and able to be accessed. About June time this year, we began to think about getting into the schools again. Restrictions were being eased. We did get some preliminary bookings from the schools, a sort of like a promissory note that if things would ease, yes, you can certainly come back in September. And I took a lot of preliminary bookings, but those really never came to pass, because things really haven't changed a lot. Throughout the summer months, we were able to do some live holiday Bible clubs. For that, we're very thankful. We do know that some congregations, perhaps having an older workforce amongst the boys and girls, were maybe a little bit more anxious. We're happy to stay with the online stuff, and that's fine. But it was a real joy to be able to do at least three live, real live holiday Bible clubs. Very daunting, actually, because I hadn't seen any children, real children, for many, many months. And you sort of lose your confidence a little bit. But the Lord undertook. And you know, in one of those holiday Bible clubs, we had a wee boy. And this wee boy is only three, but I'll tell you, he's three going on 30, and he could teach you a lesson or two. And he, not in the meetings, but at home, spoke to his mother, and she pointed him to the Saviour. And we just took that as another token for good. Things have progressed a little bit. During the summer period, we did have a lot of suddenly free time, because usually it's week after week after week of Holiday Bible Club. Suddenly there were gaps. Yes, the online stuff filled in some of those gaps. Yes, the real life stuff filled in a few gaps. But I still had about 5 weeks. And I'm sure the mission board wouldn't have been too impressed if I had 5 weeks of holiday. And so we got ourselves a big gazebo. And for those of you who don't know, that's really a tent with no walls. Then they make you buy the walls to get more money out of you. But we got this huge big gazebo, we got a ground sheet, we got ourselves a whole pile of windbreakers, and we went and put little leaflets through doors in different districts saying that we'll be there tomorrow. And they then just went set up, and we had little ones out. Sometimes the numbers weren't big, maybe we had half a dozen. And out of that half a dozen, three of them came on one car along with the team. On another occasion, we had maybe 17, 18, 19, 20 children. We just kept doing that week after week after week after week. Then school began again, and we contacted the schools. We wouldn't get into the schools. We then offered the schools the facility to do outside assemblies with this big gazebo. I got a team of about half a dozen retired men from the church, all on board, trained in how to do all this. So we looked very slick and professional. The teachers were looking outside. There weren't men standing throwing bits of stuff here, there, and everywhere going, what do you do with this? And we were able to go into at least half a dozen schools, set up and do a whole morning, sometimes right into the whole afternoon, of assemblies, one class at a time. And what a thrill that was, and continued to be. The weather has, of course, now brought that to an end. But the Lord has opened the hearts of many of the teaching staff. And it just started out with a poor day. We arrived, were able to do a little bit. Weather got a little bit uncertain. Head teacher said, right, assembly hall's huge. Just you come on in. We'll send two classes in, huge gap in between them. And then we'll finish them and we'll do it again. And that began to happen. And so we now have about half a dozen schools doing that with us. We also have opportunity, and we've been in contact with several schools about getting back into the after-school activity, the SU, because it's a small group. And again, those things are underway. But the work continues. It's a whole wide raft. We trust that as we have brought you this report tonight, you will be encouraged. The Lord hasn't forgotten us. The work hasn't ended. The work continues on. Souls need to be saved. Heaven needs to be populated. And we trust that your prayers and our endeavours as individuals and as teams will see much done in this little province by way of salvation of our children. I want to thank you so much for your prayers, for your thoughts, for your kindness. Do remember us under health and on the roads, and that the doors will open and we will get that normality back that we really do need. Now, as I've spoken tonight, maybe some of the things that I've said have come across maybe a little bit disjointed. And so as we show you the little 5-minute PowerPoint at the end, we trust that it'll all come together and you'll get a good full picture of what has been happening. And we want again to thank you for your interest in the work. Amen.
Robert, thank you very much for coming tonight, sharing this ministry with us. Really appreciate that. And the folks here have been praying for you, will be praying for you. And we trust as things begin to open up again that the work will continue to go forward. We do have a hymn that we want to sing. Sing a couple of verses anyhow. Is your life a channel of blessing? Is the love of God flowing through you? And we'll sing two verses, please. For listening in tonight on the internet, and at this stage we say good night to you as we come to our wee time of prayer here at Hebron. We want to bow together and seek the Lord tonight.